Good morning to you folks. It's time for us to begin. This is the first of the lessons being presented this week by Brother Joshua Gertler. I'll have something to say about him personally. He's going to give me some notes so I'll know something good to say in the next hour. But we're glad to have them with us, and he's going to be directing our thinking in the class. Josh, one of the brethren back on the back seat, will ring a bell and you got 5 minutes. I forgot to tell you that. But we're glad to see you today. We're going to have a prayer. Brother Glenn Reeder is going to lead us in that prayer. And then Josh will be speaking to our adult Bible class this morning.
Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed grateful unto thee that we have been able to assemble this morning in this place to hear blessings from thy holy word. Father, we're thankful for the sunshine outside. We're thankful for the sun that is shining within the building. Father, we're grateful unto thee for all the blessings of life. We're thankful to thee that the Brother Josh and his family has had safe passage here. We're looking forward to this lesson from thy word this next 2 days. Father, we ask thee to be with us as we go forth through life. Keep us safe out of harm's way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lewis, I forgot to ask you, the total time is 45 minutes? Okay, and the bell rings after 35? Okay. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me again. I'll probably have more to say in the worship hour. And I wanted to tell you something that happened on our last trip here. We have many memorable events, and I can't say this when my daughter's in here, but we recall this story with fondness. So the last time we were here, Miss Joyce was folding some laundry. And our little daughter McKenna, who was 4 at the time, said, "Can I help you fold laundry?" And she said, "Sure." And so while McKenna was folding along, she said, "You know, when my mom helps me, lets me fold laundry, she gives me $1. So we remember that and talk about that sometimes. But of course, if she was out here, she would cry. So this morning, we're going to move very rapidly. I did have a short video to show. I don't think I'll have time to show it. What we're dealing with is an irrefutable argument for God. I'm going to move quickly, so try to follow. However, there's a handout in the back, an article that explains this method or this technique, which is grounded in Bible roots. It really is. Aside from that, there's a book that is back there called The Ultimate Proof of God. And what this does is examine worldviews. Now, this is really a very simple argument that can be made very complicated that I'm going to try to simplify for your sake, even though really it is simple. And it goes like this. In a universe that's strictly materialistic and atheistic, there is nothing but matter and chemical reactions. That's it. Therefore, in a universe where there is no God, then there is no way to account for these three things. Laws of logic, uniformity of nature, or laws of science, and morality. Okay? If there's no God, you cannot account for those three. And this is really the ultimate proof of God, the ultimate proof of creation. So the universe, atheists say, is only a series of accidental chemical reactions. We're only accidents. I could present numerous quotes from atheists to say we are all an accident, but I'll just present one quote from Joyce Oates. She says, "Nothing is accidental in the universe except the entire universe itself, which is pure accident. We are just accidental happenstance." So if the universe is nothing but chemical reactions and accidents, it cannot account for these three things. And this is, if you're taking notes, this is the most important point that you should remember. If there is no God, there is no God of the Bible, then we have no laws of logic or reasoning. We have no universal morality, and we have no laws of science. Hence, nothing in the universe makes sense without God. But we have to remember that our central theme is always Jesus Christ. And that's why this is a biblical principle, a biblical teaching. Acts, the third chapter and verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." But the world discounts God out of the box. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But we preach Christ crucified," which is what? "To the Gentiles, foolishness." And yet, the argument we're going to show actually shows that the Gentiles are the ones that are foolish. So this lecture will uses, and this is your technical jargon for the day, it's really a complicated name to describe something very simple. It's called the presuppositional apologetic approach, or the transcendental argument for God. By transcendental, it means it transcends all other arguments and undercuts anything else that argues against God. Presuppositional apologetics, and we'll call it the transcendental argument for God. This morning, we'll just call it TAG, if you can remember that. Transcendental argument for God is TAG. It's really the nuclear option to worldview debates. It blows up any other option. Now compare that to the way we usually argue against atheists. Usually when we argue against atheists, we use an evidential approach. An evidential approach means we give a piece of evidence here, a piece of evidence there. Oh, you don't believe that one? I'll give you another piece of evidence. And you give them another piece of evidence. Do you believe it? Nope. Here's another piece of evidence. Do you believe in God? Nope. Here's another piece of evidence. Do you believe in God? Nope. That's just kind of like trimming branches and limbs and twigs. Now, when you go to the TAG version, the TAG is like the nuclear option that cuts at the root, okay? The evidential approach takes